I'm here today with Ellen Weinreb, who is the CEO and President at Sustainability Recruiting. Ellen, thank you for speaking with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Can you tell us what you do at Sustainability Recruiting?
So I founded this firm to support companies that need help with their hiring. And I fill positions that are somewhat connected to cause or sustainability or corporate social responsibility. So I either do searches for companies that need a CSR sustainability position, or I fill any types of jobs for businesses that have a sustainable mission.
And you've been involved in sustainability and CSR, recruiting and consulting for more than a decade. What did it look like then, and what new trends are you seeing now or in the past 5 years?
Right. Well, I started 12, 13 years ago, and at the time, CSR was the buzzword, corporate social responsibility, and now the buzzword is much more around sustainability. At the beginning, it was largely about multinational corporations, and now it's really affecting everybody, nonprofits, individuals, as well as the corporations. Another big trend is that when I first started, it was largely human rights in the consumer packaged goods, consumer products, apparel, footwear industry, so real consumer products focused, and now it's affecting more industries, and it has a much stronger environmental agenda. The carbon agenda is really dominating the sustainability scene.
So before, it was more focused on child labor, sweatshops, fair wages, and
factories. It was really the effects of globalization, post all these trade agreements, moving all this production abroad, and all of a sudden companies were looking up and realizing, what is it that we're getting into by sending our production abroad? And now there's a lot more knowledge about that, and now the focus is much more on the environment.
And what type of companies do you specialize in now?
Well, I really say I have two types of clients. One of them are the big companies, multinationals, and then the other are small local businesses. So Vijon was a recent client. They're a $600 million consumer packaged good company, and I did a search for them to find a director of sustainability. And then I've also supported a small sustainably forested paper company called New Leaf Paper. I helped them identify their head marketing person.
Wonderful. And I think I've worked with that person.
Yeah, New Leaf.
On some social media projects. So you spent, before you went specifically into recruiting, 10 years or so doing consulting around CSR, and then you've been focusing on recruiting for about 5 years. Was this switch evidence that the sector was ramping up, that there was enough opportunity and enough work for you to focus, to narrow your work and your specialization to focus only on recruiting?
Yeah. I'd say that I do research on the number of jobs out there, and I follow the corporate social responsibility positions that are posted on BSR. So this is focusing on the corporate sustainability types of positions. And so I've been following over the past 6 years, from 2004 to 2009, the number of positions that are posted on BSR's website. And the map.
What is BSR?
BSR is the Business for Social Responsibility. It's the main membership organization for companies interested in corporate social responsibility. So in 2007, I identified 146 postings, and then that number went down in 2008 to 120, and then in 2009, it went down by half to 60. So last year was a really bad year. It peaked in 2007. It definitely hit rock bottom in 2009. I'll put money down that 2010 is not going to be as bad as 2009, and I think 2011 is where you'll see numbers surpassing that of 2007. So for me in my business, I saw that opportunity that the number of positions out there were on the rise, and that's why I got into it, got into the recruiting.
What advantage does being a recruiter have in terms of your perspective working with candidates and also employees to fill these positions?
Right. So
I think that that's one of the best parts of being a recruiter is that you get to work with both teams.
Right. I work with employers and I work with the job seekers. I, having worked as a consultant to corporations for the past, for 10 years, really allows me to understand the needs of my clients. And my clients in my consulting practice have been Nike, L.L. Bean, Levi Strauss, Hewlett Packard. I mean, they're big multinationals. And I've seen how all of them have approached setting up a corporate social responsibility team. I mean, I've been there from the beginning with a lot of these companies. So having that knowledge allows me to find candidates that are going to meet their needs, and I can put myself in their shoes.
And you have an MBA yourself. How important do you feel that having an MBA is to getting work in CSR ability for candidates?
Well, I say that, again, in terms of this phone call, we're focusing on corporate social responsibility, and the MBA supports the C in CSR, meaning that understanding how a company works from all aspects, which is what your MBA gets you, is very valuable in understanding how to start up a sustainability program within a corporation. So at the end of the day, it's CSR is about building a relatively new initiative within an organization that historically has not had a function to do this work. And so it's about politics and building support, and just a general MBA is very valuable.
And would you say that, recently there's been a new crop of graduate schools that have programs around sustainability and social responsibility. They may be run from the business school or not. How are the graduates with these new degrees affecting the job market? And are you seeing that they still possess the right balance of real-world experience and study?
Well, I think these programs are great. There's Dominican and Presidio and Bainbridge. There's a number of MBA programs that are devoted solely to sustainability. And when I say sustainability, it's not just about corporate sustainability. It's about all sectors. And those programs, they're small. I mean, a normal class might have 40 or 20 students graduating in a year. And so you become rather tight with that group of people. And everybody who enters that program really has some sort of agenda, something that they're interested in. And so the MBA program itself is like an incubator for ideas. They get to work, the students get to work with like-minded people. They get to dig deep, give a lot of time to developing an idea. There's some businesses that are started as a result of it. So it tends to be just a fertile ground, and I've heard very positive things about the program overall. In terms of the jobs that they're getting, that's really the initiative of the student and really what they're bringing to the job before they started their degree. So those that are coming to the program with a really strong resume and a lot of experience are then getting kind of more interesting jobs. Those that are coming straight out of college, let's say, are actually finding it a struggle because they don't have the work experience to jump into something that is a kind of, I think because the program is a big ideas program, you need more previous experience to then launch into a big idea. So if you don't have that experience, then it's hard to make that jump.
And what was the, I know that you mentioned Presidio. What were one of the two of the other programs that you spoke highly of?
Bainbridge and Dominican. And then there's there's probably some others, but I can't. They're just not on the top of my head.
I just wanted to loop back for a moment. When you were talking about looking up at on BSR at the numbers of sustainability postings, the drop, and it didn't even occur to me to ask why, because I feel like it's just the normal drop in jobs in the economy. Is there anything else beyond that? I just want to make sure we're covering our bases. Is there anything else that contributed to this drop beyond normal
hacking? Right. Well, yeah, it was largely the economy last year. The corporate social responsibility departments were hit greater than other departments within corporations. The corporate social responsibility departments needed to justify their spending in a stronger way than they had previously. So it was all about the return on the investment, showing their bang for their buck, and at the end of the day, they had to do more with fewer resources, and it was just a hard time. There weren't a whole lot of layoffs, but the people who did leave their job or were laid off had a hard time finding something comparable or better.
Do you think that is because there's still a perception that corporate responsibility is, I was speaking about this yesterday, is subjective? I mean, I see it, and many of us see it as a strategy, an important one, but do you think that the need for, I mean, it's always important to justify how you're spending resources, but are they overly scrutinized, or is it then compared to, you know, a marketing department?
Right. Yeah. Yes, I would say so. That there's a, you know, with marketing, there's certain assumptions. You know, all these departments are, there's a lot of traditional departments within a company. There's the HR department, there's the finance department, the HR marketing, and those departments aren't questioned so much, and spending might be compared to what was spent the year before. Where CSR overall is new, it's not traditional, and so it's the company, and when I say the companies don't have minds of their own. Companies are led by a team of leaders, not just the CEO, but often there's a leadership team and politics that are involved in convincing all of those members of that team that these programs and these departments are a long-term solution, and that there's something that should be, that's important and respected. That's some people on that management team are buying in from the beginning, and then there's skeptics, oftentimes in the legal department or the finance department, who just don't really get it, or who are continuing to question whether that sustainability department is there to stay.
So I don't want to get too off track, but I also want to just tap into your experience in this. And is there something that people employed in CSR working in sustainability department to prevent this point of view, this opinion?
Well, that, yeah, right.
Preserve and that's, their job.
Yeah, opinion? That's where the value of that MBA is. I mean, that's like the heart of what you're doing at the end. I mean, the CSR department, they set up management and information systems, so they're measuring their output, they're measuring carbon, they're measuring their return on investment. So they set up management information systems. There might be a huge database to developed around monitoring the factories. So there's a lot of data, and to have a strong head for data and management information systems is certainly a skill that's part of the program. And then often that leader who's head of that team, their job is to keep the department alive or to build the support for it at all levels of the company. So that's really a big part of it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's a really interesting answer. I wouldn't have thought about the second portion about, and it makes total sense, but that's interesting. That was a great answer, and it dovetails into, I wanted to ask this, what type of candidates do you look for? What characteristics and experiences catch your eye? And I know this varies by position and company, but are there a couple of generalities?
Yeah, so employers contact me to do a search, and they wouldn't be contacting me to do a search if there were 100 candidates that met this requirement so easily. I mean, if they could find the person themselves, they probably would. So there might be something about the candidate that they're looking for that's hard to find. So for me to make a generalization about these candidates, it's difficult. But I think something that I can share with you that might be helpful is that, as I was telling you, I've checked data about the number of job postings in sustainability, corporate social responsibility, that are from the Business for Social Responsibility's jobs page. And I identified, of all the positions over the last 2 years that have come out, I categorized them into four different areas. So the types of jobs that are out there are, for the most part, they're corporate jobs. 54% of the jobs out there are corporate jobs. So that's working for a corporation doing corporate social responsibility. And then the other types of jobs out there were that there were 25% of the positions were compliance related. So those are essentially you're on contract to the corporation to help monitor the supply chain, the factories for sweatshops, or counting the carbon, or some type of compliance. And then 11% of the positions posted were consulting jobs. So that's consulting for firms that are consulting to these companies. And then another 10% of the positions were association jobs. So that means that they were organizations that supported largely nonprofits or membership organizations that supported companies getting together and coming up with best practices or networking or something of that sort. So those are the association type jobs.
That's interesting. I see that you have an eye for patterns and research, which I wonder if that was called from your training and in your work in CSR, or if that just made you a good candidate for that type of work. But,
well, a lot of the consulting work that I did largely for these big companies when I was helping them get their CSR departments off the ground was a lot of research and benchmarking. So I definitely love networking, which is one of the reasons I went into recruiting, and I also love spreadsheets and research, which is largely how I manage my candidates, but it's also how I did a lot of research for my corporate clients.
Mm-hmm. Do you hire candidates who have not worked in CSR or sustainability before, so from outside the sector?
Not really. I mean, if a company wants me to do if it's a corporation that's hiring a sustainability type position, they're going to want somebody who has previous experience in it. Ideally, somebody even from the same industry. So one real big requirement is if you want a corporate social responsibility job, you need corporate experience.
You don't necessarily need corporate social responsibility experience, but you need corporate experience. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the corporate's really, exactly. I mean, in my searches, I have found corporate social responsibility previous experience in corporate social responsibility. So that's definitely plays a big part, but the corporate is more important than the social responsibility, I'd say.
Okay, so if someone is looking, they really want to go into corporate social responsibility, they don't have a graduate degree or an MBA in it, what would you advise them to do to go in and to find a corporate position first and foremost?
Right,
and,
well, I have a lot
and
of
leverage that.
Right. I have a lot of resources for job seekers available on my website, so that's a place to start, and I answer these types of questions. I think that I post positions on Twitter that cross my desk, so job seekers can follow me on Twitter at Sustainable Jobs, or they can become a fan of me on Facebook at Sustainability Recruiting. And also on my website, ellenweinrep.com, there are several resources for job seekers. So that's
yes,
a place.
And I'll list all of these in the interview and in the post as well.
And so that so all of those are available to the job seekers. And then in terms of getting that experience, I think if you're straight out of an MBA school, I would say get a corporate job, get a job in a company to get that experience and then try to find your way through the company to do it's what this organization Net Impact calls. There's an organization that supports students, MBA students that are interested in sustainability and cause-related positions, and the name of that organization is Net Impact, and they've got, I don't know, 20,000 members. I mean, they're a big organization, and so they have resources for job seekers, and they have a lot of internships around sustainability, so that's a good place to go. And also, if you're involved in Net Impact, that can help. There are chapters within the business schools, and that can support your job search. Was that answering your question? Or I think I might be focusing too much on the MBAs and not the non-MBAs who might be interested in these types of jobs.
Well, but you're talking about getting corporate experience, and that can come in the form of a real job or at least in the form of an internship, right? What's the impact of having an internship to set in a new sector? Is that still useful, or is that overrated?
Internships are extremely valuable. They can get your foot in the door. It allows you to start developing your own network, gives you something to write on your resume that you've had specific experience. So it allows an internship allows you to make a step in the direction that you want to go in a short amount of time. They're extremely valuable.
Great. You know, I thought that was a prevailing knowledge or sense of them, but I wasn't sure. I mean, coming from someone your perspective, it's good to hear that indeed that does work how we envision it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recruit consultants or contract positions, or are you focused only on full-time?
Just a full-time.
Okay. And we also hear it's an employer's market now. Is this what you're seeing? And what is this freeing up companies to do? Are they able to build programs more cost-effectively, or are they able to bring a level of talent?
It's definitely an employer's market, and at the end of the day, it means that there's a richer pool of candidates out there. For example, I did a search for Calvert. They're a socially responsible they're the biggest socially responsible investing firm based out of Bethesda, Maryland. And I was looking for a marketing professional about 2 years ago. And we looked high and low. And we were really, it was just a really tough search. We just couldn't find somebody who had the right amount of understanding SRI, understanding financial services, and really understanding the marketing and having the marketing experience as well. And then a year later, when the economy was as it was in 2009, these people that would have been great for that Calvert job were just falling out of the sky. You know, their resumes were just ending up on my desk without me advertising the position. So it just means that there's a richer pool of candidates. And the employers definitely have the upper hand.
So, and the way that you do your recruiting is by posting, it's by networking. Are there any posting on Twitter, posting on your site and your blog? Are there any other ways that you find and connect with potential candidates?
Yeah, well, the real way I fill the positions is I just pick up the phone and I call people because I've been working in the field for 12 years. I know a lot of people, and I call them and I say, do you know anybody who could do this, or would you be interested in this position yourself? So I just get on the phone. It's kind of old-fashioned, but it works.
Do you see small and mid-sized companies hiring for CSR and sustainability now? And this is a tough question because it's probably a trend that was ascending when then we had the economic crunch. So what does it look like now? Is it starting to have more of a trickle-down effect from the multinationals to small, mid-sized companies?
It is. I'd say in terms of small businesses, what I do see are consulting firms, small boutique consulting firms popping up. And so So I'm seeing more small consulting firms than small businesses hiring experts in this area.
This is a smaller question, but I was reading through your website, and again, I encourage users to go to ellenweinreb.com. I will put it in the post. There's a lot of resources there, but one thing you said which surprised me is that resumes should be sent as Word documents rather than PDFs, which is not what I have typically done. So I'm wondering, what's the reason for that?
Right. Well, I am receiving more and more PDF resumes. I think that the trend is actually more PDF. However, I prefer, and a lot of other recruiters prefer, Word documents, and there's two reasons. One is that they open slower. The PDFs open slower on our computers, and as a recruiter, we just need to go through resumes. You know, my one question is this candidate qualified for this job, yes or no? And I have to go through 100 or 400 resumes. And so it saves me time if I'm opening up a Word document as opposed to a PDF document. And then the second reason is that I often will want to cut and paste a whole resume or part of a resume in the body of an email that I'm forwarding over to my client or forwarding over to an HR professional client in the, you know, somebody that's working at the company that I'm recruiting for. And if I cut and paste a PDF, the formatting can just be so incredibly messed up that it doesn't really read well at all. And a Word document cuts and pastes better, smoother, cleaner. So that's why recruiters prefer Word documents.
That's a great. Are there any other tips that you could give us like that from a candidate perspective, aside from their experience, which we talked a little bit about that in terms of internships and corporate and degrees? What other things could they do in their resume and cover letter and their approach to the job and the interview process?
Right. So in terms of the resume, it's, one or two pages is fine. It usually doesn't need to be more than that. Having some summary at the top is helpful. Just pay attention to what you're bolding, what you want to highlight. Oftentimes, the resume needs to show that you're meeting the minimum requirements of the position, and that if you just pay attention to that in the cover letter, then you're not demonstrating it in the resume. So you know, that resume is more important than the cover letter when it comes to a first sweep, and then the cover letter becomes more important kind of once you've passed over the first hoop.
Mm-hmm. And what should be communicated in the cover letter?
Cover letter, I say, you know, three reasons why you're the best person for the job and three reasons why you want this job, what this job is going to do for you and your professional development.
Hmm. Okay, great. Just about to wrap up here, but, you know, Yvonne Chonod from Patagonia says that his company received around 900 applications for every job opening. And of course, I'm picking Patagonia because they are fabled in sustainability and CSR. So what are you finding? Who are you finding are the hottest companies now? And who do you project will be the hottest companies to work for in this sector in 2 years?
Right. So Patagonia recently had a sustainability job posting, and I tweeted about it, and I got, I don't know, like 300 hits in a short period of time. So, yeah, that of all the postings that I've posted, I think that was the most ever, a record for me. And then more recently, Blue Sky, which is a boutique consulting firm, Blue Sky is spelled B-L-U-S-K-Y-E. They do a lot of sustainability consulting for Walmart, and they're a very desirable to work for as an employer. So I tweeted about that, and I got 100 hits within a short amount of time. Nike, you know, big names, Levi's, those, you know, those get kind of more hits. But I would say Patagonia is probably the most desired employer out there.
What about Timberland? I always feel that I have a lot of respect for that company as well and for what Jeff's doing.
Yeah, they're doing well. Their blog, they're doing a lot. They are doing a lot. I think they're known within the CSR circles, and outside of the CSR circles, they're known for their volunteerism, more so employee involvement, more so than kind of other corporate social responsibility areas.
So, Ellen, what makes you a great recruiter?
Well, it's the 12 years consulting experience. It just gives me the advantage. I mean, the fact that I've been there from the ground up, and I've helped Clorox and Nike and Levi's get their corporate social responsibility teams off the ground, allows me to put myself in the shoes of the employer. And then the network that I've developed over those 12 years is extremely valuable as well. So I'm able to start the ground running. And also, I don't do more than 3 searches at a time, so that when I do commit to a search, I really put my heart and soul into it, and I do the search very quickly, and, I mean, you know, the clients are happy.
Do you do a lot of online networking, or you're based in San Francisco, so is it a lot of in-person event networking, online combination?
Yeah, I typically go, in terms of face-to-face, I've been to 12 of the business social responsibility conferences, so that's been a commitment for myself. Online, absolutely, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter are really valuable resources for me as marketing tools. And then the phone, you know, just managing, but keeping the contacts that I do have, keeping them posted on what I'm up to is also valuable.
And I've learned over, as I've been developing my professional career and have moved from industry to industry, to keep those contacts, and particularly the ones that you had a connection with, and just kind of send emails and check in and hope they're well without expecting anything, without having a purpose. So do you feel that that's important too, to just kind of keep that soft touch with people?
Mhm. Yeah, I think I call that pinging, or, you know,
yes,
touching people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's valuable. It's extremely valuable. So it's a good it's a good tip for job seekers as well.
Yes, it is. And I feel like I'm constantly reevaluating slightly what I want to do. So I've used that a lot, just to reach out and solicit people's thoughts, ask them about their experience. So it's been helpful. Is there anything else that you want to add today before we wrap up?
I think we're good, Olivia.
Okay, Ellen, thank you very much. This is really very interesting.
Absolutely. I wish you the best with your blog, and keep it coming.
For more interviews about cause capitalism, visit causecapitalism.com.